Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored. We are your weekly teacher council meeting, and we focus on the how of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Hi, Julie. Okay.
Hi, Trevor.
Guess what today is? Well, I can't say today. This episode is number 50.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay. Yay.
So today's the day we record episode 50.
Say that again. Sorry.
I said today is the day we record episode 50.
Today is the day. It is that we are recording episode 50. So I thought we would change it up just a little bit on episode 50. And so this is okay. Let me tell you where this came from. So you and I, when the last general conference happened, and the last I'm saying is April. We may actually put this out after general conference. I don't know the timing on it, but anyways, April general conference 24. You and I were asked by Kurt Frankum of Leading Saints to do a teaching. How do you teach a talk? One of the talks, right? And so Julie and I each took a talk, and then we talked about how we might teach that talk, and you know, for Relief Society and Elders Quorum, etc. And so we recorded that, we put that up online, and then last week, a couple weeks ago, Julie, you said, "Hey, I was just answering the comments that were put on that, and I had never thought about that. I didn't think that people were putting comments on it, and they were." So I had to go and do that. And as I was going through it, someone brought up a comment, because I had made a comment in the video, and he came back and said, "Actually, this is what I think about it." And he gave it kind of a dissenting view of it, which is, you know, I don't think either of us are right or wrong. It was just different. Right. So that's actually what I want to talk about, is this particular topic. And you and I are going to have a little discussion on the topic of, within a class, when you are teaching a class, to PowerPoint or not PowerPoint.
What?
To PowerPoint or not PowerPoint.
PowerPoint. So I really literally thought that you were going to say, how do we handle dissension?
No.
And you know what's so funny is that I had a story in my head totally ready when you started going there. I'm like, oh, good. I kind of wanted to bring this up because it was challenging for me. Okay, we're going to talk about PowerPoint or not PowerPoint. Okay, I have a very strong opinion about this.
Good. So do I.
Okay, good.
And I wonder if they're the same or if they're different.
I know. This will be awesome. Okay.
Okay, so I want to just throw this out to you and say, how do you feel? Okay, because a lot of teachers use PowerPoint and a lot of teachers don't. What are the pros? What are the cons of using that? So I know this is right off the cuff, Julie, and you have no time to prepare for this, but what are your thoughts around that?
I think it depends 100% on how it's used.
Okay.
I don't think that it is a yes, use it or not. I think it's about how you use it. So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I love using PowerPoint because I'm a visual person. And so a lot of times I use the PowerPoint to diagram. I love being able to read the quotes and have the quotes in front of people. I see people in my classes all the time take out their phones and take pictures of the PowerPoints. I know that they appreciate it because they can go back and look at it. I can forward the PowerPoints to people, so it becomes an extra resource for them. I love finding images to represent the concepts that we're talking about. And so I feel like that gives like another kind of depth of whatever it is that we're talking about, to have some images that people can have. I love including videos sometimes. It just gives you the opportunity to do so much more and have a more colorful presentation. But if you rely on your PowerPoint too much, like if you teach from your PowerPoint to the neglect of facilitating a discussion, or if you if all of the attention, like I can think of one person who I've been in her class and everything is on the PowerPoint, and we literally just go through the PowerPoint. And she has great points in there and really good questions, but it's almost like we're focused on the next slide instead of focused on what the answer was to those questions. And so I've seen it done well, and I've seen it done not well. And so that, and maybe I do it badly. I don't know. I don't really know. But I am a big fan of using visuals. Big fan.
Very good.
How do you feel about it, Kevin?
I don't like PowerPoint.
Okay.
I don't. And here's why. And I'm not saying, and kind of on the opposite side, I'm not saying that people shouldn't use it and that it's not, and that it's not even useful at all, because there have been some points where I've seen that it's useful and I think it's great for some things. For example, if you put a video up in there and no, a clip, right? I am, overall, I would say, even though I can't label myself kind of techie, although I know tech stuff, I'm not really techie. Yeah.
You know,
use it and I can get more technical than probably a lot of people. But at the same time, I try to stay away from it when teaching. And one of the major reasons PowerPoint in particular is because I have just watched PowerPoint be abused way too many times. Way, you know,
whether, abused.
Yes, yes. Whether it is in church or business or whatever, it almost turns us, it seems like when a PowerPoint is put up, it turns us into being acted upon. It turns us
because
into,
you're just like looking at a screen.
Well, yeah, I mean, even more so, because there's almost a connotation of when someone has a presentation and they're going to present to you and they pull up PowerPoint. It is a mental cue for people to sit back and go, all right, they're going to talk at me and get in that mental state of, all right, I'm just going to listen, because that is typically what happens with PowerPoint. Now, can PowerPoint be used in good ways? Yes, absolutely it can. But my feeling is that it is rarely used in ways that really help, right? And when you go through a PowerPoint, it's oh boy, I wish I could remember who said this. I wasn't sure that I was going to bring this up, but I am obviously now. And maybe you can help me with this, Julie, who said this, but I don't think it was in a general conference. Dang it. Anyways, it was something along the lines of that they prefer people not, when they give a talk in sacrament, that they not write it out word for word.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know who said it, but I know what you're talking about. Oh, it was Bednar.
Was it?
He was talking about teaching by the Spirit. Like when we're giving talks, that we ought to do the preparation such and have a few notes, but writing it out kind of constipates, if you will, that channel between us and receiving additional revelation, because we're on a script.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel PowerPoint is, because it's really, really easy for not only the learners to go into that mode of, okay, I'm just going to be taught at, but also for the teacher to, maybe they get nervous, or maybe they, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to do the PowerPoint, and they go through the PowerPoint and they can have good discussion or good questions, but is it really good discussion? Does it turn it into more of a, I'm going to ask you a question, you give it to me, and that's what I'm looking for. Next slide.
Next slide.
Right. Yeah. Next one. Now, if, like I said, if there is a particular part of a video that comes up, I think that's great. I think watching and I think technology is abused overall. Too many times I've seen, like in Elder Scorn, all right, we're going to talk about Elder Bednar's talk. Let's watch it. And so we watch for 15 minutes the whole talk. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. Because I think there's so much that we can maybe pick and choose, maybe a 1 minute or 2 minute clip. Let's pull that out of that story or that quote is so good. But what if we, you know, and some quotes we just read, right?
Right.
And so maybe it's good to have it up there, but there might be other ways to have quotes read without it being in PowerPoint. I guess overall, I have felt that almost everything that could be done with PowerPoint or technology can be done without it, and sometimes even better. But you brought up the points of, you know, great visual, or a great, you didn't say flow chart, but a great diagram is what you use, right? Yeah. A great diagram. Yeah. Can you sometimes actually create that with them on a chalkboard? Yes. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes, you know, it's too much to do that. So you just want to show it. And I think that's great for things like that. But I honestly, overall, I think that most everything that can be done with technology can be actually done without it, and maybe even better. So that's where I'm coming from. So your thoughts on that?
Let me tell you the two main points that you said that stuck out to me. One is what it does to the learners, and that they kind of go into acted upon mode, right? And they feel, they probably sense more so than when you don't have a PowerPoint that you have an agenda.
Yes.
And so you know where you're going, right? Because you've laid out a PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
So they think, oh, they know where they're going. I don't want to make a comment to derail them. Let me sit back and enjoy.
You said that so much better than I, and explained it better than I did. Thank you. Yes, that is absolutely it. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, but then take it to the flip side, like you said as well. And you then do have an agenda because you've prepared a PowerPoint presentation. And so you have a direction that you want it to go. And so they're not just sensing that, it's like actually true.
Right. You've written your sacrament talk out basically, right? In PowerPoint.
Yes.
Right.
So how do we marry the two? Because I'll be honest, like this, when you said, oh, you can read a quote. Is there a different way that you can get a quote up without using a PowerPoint? And I would say no. I would say using quotes in class is almost useless if they can't see it visually. That's my personal opinion. Oh, yes.
I have an idea for that one, actually.
Oh, yeah?
What if
you write it on the chalkboard?
That's one way to do it. Terrible idea.
I get a hand cramp.
So in our ward, I don't know about your ward, but our ward, we oftentimes use the church's app Living. Do you guys use that at all?
I don't even know what that is.
Really? Okay.
Do I? Maybe I have it and I don't even know.
Maybe, maybe not. I got to throw this out. It's the Living app. It has, I'm just going to put it up here. Will it focus on that? It's the one with the little happy sprout. Blue, I think it's blue. God, I'm assuming it's blue.
Blurry.
Maybe it's green. Sprout. Anyways, you open that up. And it has so many different resources. It's a great app. I think they still have a ways to go in it, but I think they're doing a great job with it. But in there is circles. And there's a circle for example, gospel doctrine. And so if I were the teacher, I could just put up if I put up a PowerPoint in the front of the class, people go into that PowerPoint mode of, okay, they're going to teach at me. But I could do, for example, a PowerPoint in Google PowerPoint, whatever version that, I don't know what they call it. Yeah. And just put quotes in that and then say, all right, everyone, and then put the link to it in the gospel doctrine circle that they can just click on and say, okay, go to the second slide. Yes, that is it. That is it. Yes. Very good. And then just say, okay, we're going to read the quote from the second slide. So everyone grab their cell phones, click on that and open it up. And that way they have it, but it doesn't get them into the mindset of, oh, I'm going to be taught at, but it's like passing around a piece of paper with all the quotes on it, you know, which is what we used old school, what we used to do, right? We print copies out and then give it out. Well, you can still do that, but also you could do it this way not everyone obviously uses the Living app, but I think there are ways around it. But at the same time, I don't think it's a horrible thing to have the PowerPoint up and show a quote. I don't think that's a horrible thing. As long as the teacher doesn't get in the mindset of, well, I mean, for example, I've seen you do this with PowerPoint where you go, oh, I need to go forward 5 slides to get to that one quote that I want to bring up now. And then, oh, I need to go back, and you're using it to not direct the way what you do, but rather to supplement the points that they bring up, for example.
Yes. Okay. So let me So what I hear you say is that there are other ways to do it. And you made a suggestion, and I don't actually love that suggestion because everybody's picking up their phone. Everybody's picking up their phone, and then all of a sudden you don't know if people are texting or if they're searching. Right. And you don't know. And so because of teaching youth, I'm not a fan of that.
That may not be the greatest. Yes.
Here's the other side of that equation. I actually love having them get their phones out, go to the Gospel Library app and teaching them how to navigate it. So I do think that people need to have experiences using their phones. And if you can facilitate them actively actually finding stuff, then they'll be more likely to go and do it again. So I'm a fan of that. But doing it in a Gospel Living app, I think you lose a little bit of, it's not that you're a control freak, but you will lose people with ADD.
You will.
Because
absolutely.
They'll go
yes.
and squirrel their way through it. So yep. great. But the point I agree with is that there are other ways to do it.
The principle of it, yes.
In principle, yes. So, but then this other thing where you talked about the idea of you feeling like you have an agenda or a script, I'm guilty of that. Like I have gotten, like I've done prep work before and gone into a class and really had a point that I wanted to make and felt frustrated that we could never even get to it because we had so much discussion and I'm disappointed. And sure. so that means I had an agenda, right?
Right.
Here is something though that, and you brought this up, I think that the key isn't whether it's right or wrong, it's whether or not you use it appropriately. And so when Stephen Covey would teach, he had 695 slides and never, not once did he go in sequence. I mean, you couldn't get through those, but like he would call for them at random. Mm-hmm. And so what I feel like my slides become to me are not a script, but a visual representation of some of the points that we might want to make.
And that would, it would be okay not to hit some of those slides.
I skip them all the time.
Right?
Like last week, I think I had 34 slides and I got to maybe four, just to give you an idea.
That's
like,
impressive.
Because I had things that I wanted to bring in, but we never got past this one slide. But it wasn't that I even wanted to get past it. I just wanted a visual representation of something. And I wanted the scriptures up so that people knew which scriptures to go to. Mm-hmm. And they're not going, what did you just say? What was that? I'm like, just right there. Now you know what we're going to. So let's make sure. And we didn't even make our way sequentially through the scriptures. They were just up there.
That's
and
great.
It was on a chart. And so, and there were like five scriptures. And so I think that there is a skill that comes in how you utilize PowerPoint. And if you didn't know, I use Keynote, by the way, not slides or whatever. So it's PowerPoint, Google Slides, Keynote, et cetera. All of them have different functionality, but in almost all of them, you can just escape out of it and go to the slide based on your thumbnails, or you can type in a slide number and hit enter, and it will take you directly to that slide. And so you could even, and I've done this when I've done like virtual presentations, I'll print out my slides and then I'll write the numbers beside them so that I have the ability to jump around if I want
to. That's great. Yeah.
And so that could be a helpful resource as well if you do decide to use it. Because so like, for example, the bad example that I brought up where you just go straight through it, the person who does it, she has been so prayerful and is so prepared and is so thoughtful. And I think that gives her confidence. And so I actually would say that if you need that, like you grow into teaching. And so I would never, like if this woman heard this podcast, and I don't think she ever would, because I'm referring to something random, right? And it's not like, I don't think anybody would even make the connection. But like if she did, I would want her to hear from me that I think that she does an incredible job in her calling. And I feel very, very supportive of people growing into it. But if you are one of those people, maybe what we're asking you to do is say, am I using it as a crutch? And if I am, how could I like lengthen the umbilical cord just a little bit away from a PowerPoint? Because you don't want to get derailed. I don't want to derail anyone who needs to grow into their confidence in the calling.
Right.
But like, could you push yourself just a little bit to become less dependent on it? Maybe be selective about what you're choosing to put in your slides.
That's
very, you know what
good.
I mean?
And I think the same principle can go through just with technology overall.
Right.
Right. Not just PowerPoint, but overall, are we letting it kind of dictate how we do something, or are we letting the spirit dictate? Whatever right. it does, it has to facilitate the spirit to be there to help run the room rather than the preconceived agenda of what I think should happen, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Totally.
Yeah. I think back to when I was working at NASA, there is this thing that I wanted to have a discussion with this group of people. And so I walked in, and it was with the CIO. And so I walked in and sat down and goes, okay, where's your presentation? I said, there isn't one. This is going to be a discussion. He goes, you can't do this without a presentation. And I'm like, oh, yes, I can. And we're going to. No. He wanted to cancel the meeting because I didn't have a presentation, my PowerPoint ready. And I was like, no.
He thought you weren't prepared.
No. Well, and you know, that's a good point, because maybe he did think I wasn't pre-prepared or pre-prepared. That's funny. Prepared, because to him, what the definition of prepared might have been is, I have a PowerPoint ready.
Right.
But it wasn't that. We were going to have a discussion, and I was ready for the discussion, but that would make people nervous. Mm-hmm. And so it really is, how do you use technology in the right way at the right time for the right reasons? Now, that Circles app thing, that suggestion, I really don't think that that's a great idea either. It is an option, because I know there are wards out there that use Circles a lot, and that might be an option. But for my ward, it's actually still wouldn't be a good idea, because we have too many people who don't want to pull out their phone, or don't like, or maybe don't even have the app, but have a phone, or they're like, okay, what? And they're messing with their phone way too much to do that. Right. So it has to be with the right people at the right time, but you may use some other technology with the youth, that the youth are like, oh yeah, I'm there. We already got it. I know exactly how to use that.
Totally depends on your audience, for sure.
Right. But it comes back to the principle is it running the discussion, or are we allowing the spirit to run the discussion and teaching?
Right. And I really do think you nailed it when you talked about this idea of maybe our mental anticipation, or whatever, like our mental, what's the word that I'm looking for? Conclusion is that this person has an agenda when we do have PowerPoint. But I would venture to say that if you use it right, that feeling quickly goes away.
I agree.
Because I do think, I feel super grateful to have that option, because I personally feel so, like, I benefit so much from visual stuff, because I am very visual. Like, if somebody reads a quote to me, I get lost with the words. Like, there's a lot of words and I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But if I can see it at the same time, then I'm like processing it. But when people read long quotes in class, I'm lost if I can't follow along. I couldn't even tell you what they said at the end. They'll ask a question and I'm like, I don't even know. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm a pretty like attentive person, I don't know. And so that's a caution, you know.
I'm going to throw something out there.
Can I do it?
And this goes against all known wisdom of what we as teachers understand. You know, the whole thing of, some people are auditory learners, some people are visual learners, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, okay, my main mode, I learn by watching it, or, you know.
Julie Hilliard just said, I am a visual. I'm very visual.
Right.
Yeah.
There is no study that actually proves that. And there have been studies to try to prove that, and no study has ever proven that.
That people are primarily one kind of learner or another.
Right. But at the same time, I think, well, I'm a better this type of learner, and you say you're a better visual learner. And so we kind of instinctively already think that and know that of ourselves. But and the reason I say that is because so many people get stuck on, you know, we talk about technology, using technology, but there's also stuck on using principles that actually haven't ever been, they tried to prove that, but they haven't been able to prove that either, right? We get stuck in this mode of, well, this is how people learn. Well, that's really, are we sure about that? I think the way people learn the gospel is through the Spirit. And that's really what we need to get to, right? Now, can we do it with visual? Absolutely. And will it actually help with a lot of visual or auditory or whatever? Yes, absolutely. And might I even feel like I am a better audio learner than a visual learner or kinesthetic learner? Yes, yes, 100%. But a lot of it depends on what context it's in as well.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. Right. And I think that we let ourselves off the hook a little bit if we put ourselves into a box and say, I am this type of learner. If we put our learners into a box and say, I'm this type of learner.
Right.
However, here's a principle that's kind of interesting. So William Glasser has done a lot of research about this. And he has this diagram that I really love that talks about like kind of the percentage of what we retain when we're learning through those different mediums. Mm-hmm. But the point of it isn't to say that one medium is better than another or that people learn best through that. The point that he's getting at is that you learn best when you know you're going to teach something. And so part of the point that he's making is that your headspace and your intention going into that has more to do with what you retain than the way that it's actually presented.
I love that.
And so part of what we need to be doing is creating an expectation almost that helps get people into the right space to engage mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically participating, etc. And so like one of the things that I will do, and I actually do use PowerPoint when I do this because it helps a little bit.
Great.
I'll tell you what it is.
Great.
Is that I will, if I'm doing something where we're learning a skill, I'll set up three-person teaching groups at the very beginning, and then I'll teach a principle and have person one teach it to the other two. And then the next person, you know, teach the next principal, person two will teach it to the other two and keep going. And so I'll put up, okay, it's person two's chance. And this is specifically what you're going to be teaching. So they have something to reference. And that it's most about their mindset when they're learning that principle because they know that they're going to teach it. So they listen better.
That is fabulous. I love that. In our teacher's quorum, we do that to some degree as well. They're supposed to come being able to teach a principle.
Yeah, like mission, like you were talking about, is kind of like come prepared to be able to like say out loud, like to teach a principle that's in Come Follow Me that you pull out and suggest that that's what they focus on that week, right?
Right. Yeah, rather than just coming and sitting and listening and answering questions.
Yeah.
Come ready to teach. I think that changes everything when you come ready to teach yourself.
Right.
I wonder how we can
better.
Yeah. I wonder how we can create that environment that does that all the time. I don't know if there's a way to do that, but I need to think.
So, you know, a thought that I had about that is it goes back to the episode that we did about having people articulate their testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we were to set it up and say, you know, I'm going to teach something and then I'm going to ask you to articulate back to me what you took out of it. And then that way people, as they're listening, are going, okay, she's going to ask us to say it back. And so I would hope that they wouldn't be memorizing, but maybe what they would be doing is just really trying to process and make sure that they grasp it. It also goes back to that episode where we talked about empathy with the question that woman had posed about how to help create psychological safety in a place where certain people are speaking up. And we said, well, what about kind of setting up a talking stick type of, expectation in that classroom? And I think that some of those things actually can happen. Okay, so one of the challenges, I think, the idea that I suggested about three-person teaching, I think sometimes gets a little bit difficult because people are resistant to being broken off into groups sometimes in class. I don't know if you've done that before.
Yep.
But they sometimes are like, eh. But I think that they're less resistant if it's just like a couple of people. And so the idea is that if you create an expectation that they are going to need to say it out loud, they will listen differently. And you can do that in a bunch of creative ways. I don't know that we're coming up with all of them for sure.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I think I need to think about that a little bit more and how to do that. But I think kind of tying it back to the original topic of PowerPoint, it goes along with it, because if we are just in the PowerPoint mind in that way, we're not setting up an expectation of that at all. Right. Mm-mm. We're not, it's right. not, it's not, oh, you're going to reply back, or you're going to teach, or you're going to read, you know, the purpose is maybe in this case to retain it and then to say it back. Well, then it's, what is the teacher's agenda? I'm going to go along with the teacher's agenda.
Right.
Right.
And so would you say that an appropriate kind of summary caution to using technology would be to make sure you're not doing it because you have an agenda, and you're making sure that the class knows that you are using it, not because you have an agenda, but because it's almost like you have to call out that and hold yourself accountable for it, saying, okay, I've got some PowerPoint, I've got some visuals, but we're not going to get through all of them. It's just so that if we get to a certain point, we'll be able to have a visual of that point. Yeah. But I'm not married to them. I really want to see where this discussion takes us. And I actually think that saying it out loud is one way to address.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. But that means, like you said, like your example that you gave, you may create a whole bunch of slides that you may never use.
Right.
And we need to be okay with that.
Totally. Who even cares? You know, great thing about having slides as well, Kevin, not that I'm arguing the point of slides, but I really do like them. The other thing is that sometimes you'll say something that really resonates with people and that they want to go and then teach it to someone else, like their family. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we're doing is really, like if we're teaching Come Follow Me, for example, what we're doing in Sunday school is trying to help people have more thoughts and ideas to go back and discuss with their family. And so if that's the point, what a great thing to be able to offer them a resource.
Yep.
And so I forward my slides to people quite a bit, or I actually make them available on Google Drive for my Tuesday class.
That's
just
great.
So that people can go find them if they want. And I think I've had people say that that's helpful. I mean, I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back or anything, but it's actually really helpful for me as well, because sometimes I diagram things and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember when that was so clear in my mind. It's not clear in my mind anymore. And I go back and find it.
That's good.
So there's a little bit of a record in using PowerPoint too.
That's a good point too. Yeah. So it's not so much that I'm against PowerPoint. It's just, like you said, PowerPoint being used in the wrong, what I would consider the wrong way. Right.
Agreed with that for sure. Right.
So I think it could be done in a very, very good way, but we just have to be careful. And we use PowerPoint as the whipping boy here, but it's all technology, right? It's any method, honestly. It's not just technology, but it's any method that we use. It needs to be done in the appropriate way to, of course, number one, allow the spirit to be there and direct the discussion and direct the teaching. When we get too married to something, it becomes the default and becomes a crutch, like you mentioned. And we don't want to use the crutch. We want to use the spirit.
Amen. Well That's said.
It. Yeah, there we go. Good. All right. Well, thank you for our 50th, 50th episode there, Woo, Julie.
I feel like we should have a party.
Yeah, we should. Oh, wait, we are going to have a party, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a party. We know what we should have, a teaching restored virtual party where everyone, no, that's you. That's abusing technology. We don't want to do that. No, definitely.
You're not invited.
No, I know I wouldn't be invited. That's for sure. All right. Thanks for coming, everyone. Go share. What we don't want you to do is, for someone who you feel might be abusing PowerPoint, don't share this with them. That's not the point.
No.
We don't want to be judging people on this. Oh, well, yeah, you need to listen to this one, buddy, because this is directed ready. That's not what we're saying at all. We are trying to help improve our teaching, not trying to help us improve others' teaching.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So let's improve our teaching. Great. Thanks for being here, everyone. Take care.